Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to another Transformation Tuesday. I want to thank you guys for once again calling in to be part of this morning's discussion. I'm excited about it. I'm always excited when we do discussions about relationships because, as I've said before, it's just my firm belief that relationships are the hallmark of our lives, you know, relationships we have with others, but especially those intimate relationships. It feels good when we can be connected to someone that just helps us be, just feel more alive and more present and we can grow with. So I want to discuss today's topic. Are we compatible? You know, we've all heard the saying opposites attract, but the question is, can they sustain? Can they sustain in harmony? Before we get started, I just wanted to let you guys know, those of you who happen to be on Periscope, if you haven't heard of Periscope, it's a great tool to think about joining. It's actually live streaming, so those who like video to go along with their talks, you can actually watch this broadcast live streaming now on Periscope. I'm waving to the folks. I see a few people have joined in on Periscope. It's pretty cool. So if you don't have it this week, maybe next week, you want to look into adding Periscope to your repertoire of social media sites because it's a great tool to have. I see Soulchild Toy 9 has joined. Welcome this morning. So also, I want to just remind you guys that the recordings for this are all available on iTunes or Google Play in the podcast store under Dr. Rose Moulton. So all the Transformation Tuesdays, you can download and listen to them for free. You can take them on the go with you. So that's pretty cool. So let's get right into today's topic. And it's kind of a piggyback. If those of you who joined me a few weeks ago when I discussed the personality characteristics, we were talking about the four different categories that everyone falls in. If you, you know, walk the face of this earth, you have a personality type. And there are four different categories, most psychologists agree with that, that you're going to fall into. You can relate to all the different personality characteristics or personality types, I should say, but typically we, each one of us, have one that tends to be more dominant. So that personality type that's more dominant for us is the way we view the world. It's the way we see the world, the way we interact with the world. It just kind of helps define the essence of who we are. As I've said before, with nearly 7 billion people on the planet, there's no two people who have the same fingerprint, not even identical twins. And with personalities, although you will have people and meet people who have similar characteristics, you're unique in that as well. And your personality is consistent. It stays consistent over time. Who you are today, personality-wise, if you're being authentic to who you are and consistent to who you are, is who you were at the age of 3 and 4 personality type. Only way personalities can ever change is if there's some type of head injury sometimes that can affect personality or if there's mental illness. Other than that, it's important for us to just keep in mind that one of the tenets to live in a fulfilled life, a happy life, is to be authentically who you are in your personality type. Now, how does that relate to relationships? As a brief overview, and for those of you who may not have the book Bloom 7 Steps of Personal Transformation, you can download the first chapter for free on my website, drrosemoulton.com, and it goes over just in detail what all the different personality types mean. So it'll be great if you haven't had a chance to do that, but you should still be able today to just follow along as it relates to relationship and gain some new knowledge that will hopefully help you in your own life. But basically, again, we have the four different personality types. Brief overview, you have the wildflower. As the name pretty much states, these are the individuals that are outgoing, you know, spontaneous, spur of the moment. They really thrive. What makes them really shine in life and live their life in full bloom is when they can live in a world that allows them to just be that free spirit. Then we have the moms. The moms are considered opposites of the wildflower. The moms are the type who they thrive on structure. To live their life and feel like they're living their lives in full bloom, it's important for them to feel like they know what to be expected. They have structure. They value tradition. They like to know what's coming next. And then we have the tulips. The tulips, you think about even tulips in your garden, they tend to stand alone. These are kind of, people have called them the Flintites. Sometimes they're the ones who you can find, like Steve Jobs was a tulip type, but these are people coming up with new ideas. They're in their heads a lot, in their heads. You would think that they're not paying attention, but they're analyzing everything. But this is what makes them feel good, to kind of just take things apart and figure them out so they can better understand the world. Then the opposites of tulips will be considered your poppy personality types. And these are our nurturers of the world. These are our lovers of the world. These are the people who are the first to notice when others are not feeling well. And they're the first to lend a helping hand. These are our volunteers, you know, the Mother Teresa types. And they love having people around. They feel in full bloom and they feel really connected to life when they can be connected to others. Connection to others is so very important to them. And as I said, they will be considered opposites of tulips. So we have these four different personality types. We have the mums, and we have the wildflowers, which are, you know, kind of opposite dichotomies of each other. Then we have the tulips, and we have the poppies, which are opposites or dichotomies of each other as well. I tell you guys, I've been in practice now for over 16 years, and it never fails. I've seen couples, you know, all the times. I've seen individuals, which eventually may have morphed into couples counseling. And these are classic hookups, these opposites. It's always, it almost never fails 90% of the time when I've seen a couple. The makeup of that couple is the wildflower mom or the poppy, the tulip. So that whole adage that opposites attract, there's some truth to that, you know. Is it true? Is it not true? And I'll have to say there's definitely truth to that. Opposites do attract. The issue becomes it's very hard for them to sustain in harmony. Not impossible, but very hard. And the difficulty comes because there's that tendency after the novelty wears off for us to want to change each other. So let's talk about the whole opposites attract. We tend to choose people who appear to give us the very qualities we think we're lacking. So let me give you guys a scenario. You have the wildflower type. Perhaps this is, you know, we're going to just use a guy as the wildflower type. This is the bad boy, you know, type, or, you know, has an edge about him that's very attractive to maybe someone who cannot relate to that edge. And I'll just give a scenario. This is a wildflower type. Maybe he rides a motorcycle and, you know, very free-spirited, very spontaneous. And then you have the mom type. Perhaps this is a female who has always played it safe, traditionalist to heart, you know, always played by the rules. She meets this wildflower type, and it's like, wow, you know, this guy has all the qualities that I've always wanted to test out but been too afraid to. And I tell you guys, when these opposites hook up, it's like, you know, it's electric, because you have the wildflower who's always been told maybe his whole life that he needed to be more structured, more organized, more serious. Then you have this mom who's always told she may have been too boring or needed to live life a little bit. They get together, and it's like fire. I mean, and some of you guys I'm sure can relate to this. The first few months is beautiful. I mean, the wildflower is learning to become more structured. The mom is learning to become more free-spirited. Now let's look at the other personality type. Same thing with the tulip and the poppy. I see this classic hookup all the time. You have the tulip type, who's the strong, silent type, not very emotional, kind of has a good hold of their emotions. Then you have the poppy type, who's like all over the place, you know, emotionally, kind of just really loves that whole feeling and connection with people. And so you have this poppy who may have been told their whole life that you are too emotional, or you're too sensitive, or you need to have a better hold of your emotion. And they see this strong, silent type like, wow, this person can really help me do that. Then you have this tulip who sees this poppy, and this poppy is able to kind of be loving. And this tulip has never felt comfortable with being very affectionate or loving, and they're able to do that. And it just makes them feel like testing out something different. So it feels rewarding when we find lovers who are competent in areas which we are novel to us, and it can feel very amazing and alluring. The issue, as I mentioned before, becomes after the first 3 to 6 months of all this excitement, all these endorphins just all off the charts, all of a sudden we want to go back to what comes most natural to us, because truth be told, all of us want to feel connected to our natural personality type. So even if you stepped out of your true nature of being whatever you are for a while just to test the water somewhere else, we all want to go back to what feels most comfortable. So you have the wildflower who's tired of trying to be on time all the time and says, I want to go back to just being my unstructured, show up when I show up type of self. You have the mom who says, okay, enough for all this free-spirited life. Let me get back to some structure. I need that. I crave that in my life. You have the tulip who's saying, okay, I've had enough of all this emotional and affection. I want to kind of go back in my shell. And you have the poppy who says, you know, I like having people around. That tulip's too isolated for me. So all of a sudden you have this tug of war now, because oftentimes these people now have been in a relationship with each other for 3 months, 6 months. Sometimes they end up getting married and they find out later, hey, we're, you know, complete opposites. What do you do then? What do you do then? It's not that opposites cannot live in harmony, because they can, but one of the things that's so imperative that we do is respect each other's perspective. Do not try to change a person into becoming someone that they're not. So even though you felt some, you met this person and they made you feel amazing and alluring, and now you want to go back to just what comes most natural to you, it doesn't mean you have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say. You know, you can really learn to complement these things. Now, I'll be honest, truth be told, it is a lot easier when you're in relationships with people who see the world from your perspective. It is more, it's easier. Not to say you guys won't have disagreements or you won't see eye to eye from time to time, but fundamentally you both share the same perspective on the world, so it's easier. But when you found yourself in a situation where someone is opposite and it's really frustrating you, you have to ask yourself, is this something that's worth you saving? Is it something that you want to put the work and effort in saving? And if the answer is yes, what it requires that you do is to respect that person's point of view. You have to not attempt to change a person into being someone that they're not. And this is one of the biggest issues I see with individuals, wanting to change a person to be more consistent with what's comfortable to you. So as I said, again, just a quick overview, when you have comfort zones of the wildflower, whose comfort zone is just being out there, like the Nike slogan, just do it, live life. You have comfort zones of the mom, who's all about traditionalist. I can remember a couple years ago where the man was a wildflower and he was an entrepreneur doing very well in business. The wife was a mom, very traditionalist, and they were like at wit's end with each other, because she wanted him home every evening at 5 o'clock to have dinner with the family. For a mom, that was important. That's tradition. For a wildflower, an entrepreneur, a wildflower who would take business meetings at 6 o'clock in the evening or at the golf course making deals, you know, all day, that just seemed so foreign to him. And it became very difficult for them to live in harmony together, because what she wanted was something that didn't feel comfortable for him to give, and vice versa. What they ultimately learned in learning more about personality types and what personality types mean is that if they wanted this relationship to work, they had to respect each other's perspective. She had a right to be the mom she wanted to be. He had a right to be the wildflower. When you have a tulip and poppy combination, the tulip has a right to their private time when they need that private time, just as much as the poppy has a right to want these people around, family members around, more often than the tulip would want. But there has to be a common ground that's found, and there has to be a sense of respect there. So harmony is possible, even between opposites. So 5 tips for harmonious relationships if and when you found yourself in one of those opposites attract relationships is resist the urge to change others. Number one, you have to resist the urge to change others. Trust me, I'm a combination. I'm kind of tied with a wildflower and a tulip. And for me to someone to tell me that I have to live my life opposite of what comes most natural to me would just be like cutting the air supply off. It's so important for all of us to just live a life in flow and in harmony, because that's what makes us feel good, and that's what makes it possible for us to attract goodness in our life. So, again, the first tip, resist the urge to change others. Another way or tip for a harmonious relationship, if you find yourself in those opposite situations, understand that people are most happy when they can truly be themselves. So even if you feel like you've succeeded in changing a person, which you haven't, so don't fool yourself into believing that, trust me, that person's not happy. And I wouldn't, and the thought of being with someone who's not happy in the relationship is not appealing to me. So people are most happy when they can be truly themselves. So if you're with a mom type and you happen to be a wildflower, allow that person to have some level of structure and tradition in their life without you attempting to interrupt it. You can still do your thing. You can still be, you know, honor the wildflower within you, but don't try to change the other person. Number three, never belittle a person because they are not like you. You should be more structured, or you're too junky, or you're too emotional. Be careful with those "you are too" sentences, because that's really attacking, again, the essence of who a person is, the essence of their spirit. Number four, take turns compromising. Compromising isn't a bad word, and compromising doesn't mean you have to give up who you are. You know, there are different levels of compromising, but take turns there. So if it's very important for your poppy partner to have gatherings where they can feel connected, you know, compromise with that. Compromise with that, and you both take turns with each other, allowing each other to kind of plug into what feels good. And the last tip for a harmonious relationship is don't take everything so personally. I can't stress this enough. We often take what people say to us, their behaviors, so personally, when in reality it has nothing to do with you. So stop taking things so personally. The way your partner is behaving, the way something your partner says, more than often has nothing to do with you. It's not personal. It's personality. So a tulip who tends to be, you know, a straight shooter and may have some sarcasm to their language is not attempting to insult the poppy, but the poppy may take it that way because of the perspective and the way they see the world. So if you can learn to not take everything so personally, understand that the way or how this person is talking to you has more to do with their personality type than them wanting to attack you, you can really free yourself of a lot of the angst that we may find ourselves in with personalities. So, you know, in closing, couples who learn to accept each other not only feel better about their relationship, but end up having a better time. The bottom line is our romantic relationships are designed to help us become our best selves. And what better strategy is there than pairing up with someone who can teach you how to develop some of your more dormant traits? You know, finding your opposite isn't such a cruel love joke after all. At least it doesn't have to be. But if you find them, I've given you five tips that you can use to make it work for you. And I encourage you all to allow today's transformation Tuesday seeds to take root in possibility and start living your life in full bloom. Guys, thank you for honoring me with your time again today. If you join my mailing list, go to my website, drrosemolton.com, and join my mailing list. I will actually send you the personality inventory that you can take and you can give to your significant other to take as well, so you can kind of see where the two of you stand in your personality types. Thank you guys all again. Get out there and have a fantastic day. Bye-bye.